Hello and welcome to the 15th episode of Mobile Podcast. Mobile Podcast gives you exclusive insights into the major public interest issues affecting the mobile telecommunications industry. I'm your host, Simon Clark, and in part one of this two-part edition, we'll speak with Mike Dolan, Executive Director of the Mobile Operators Association, about mobile phone technology and health issues in the United Kingdom. The Mobile Operators Association represents the five UK mobile network operators on radio frequency health and safety and associated town planning issues. The MOA represents its members to governments, regulators and the community and engages interested parties to ensure the operator's voice gets a fair hearing within all public debates. Mike Dolan has been Executive Director of the MOA since 1999. Mobile Podcast is honoured to have Mike Dolan as our guest. I spoke earlier with Mike by phone from his office in London. Mike, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
You've been with the MOA for a decade now, I think. And can I ask, do you think the level of public concern has increased or decreased since you started there?
No, it's definitely decreased because we've been tracking public concern in the UK for over 10 years now, and the data that we're getting from our Ipsos Mori research is showing unprompted concern probably still where it was 10 years ago, just less than 3% of people, when they're asked what worry them, less than 3% mention mobile phones or handsets. But more importantly, I think, with the question when they're asked specifically about mobile phones or handsets, that's now fallen to 12%. Now, when I started here, that was 21%, and in 2005, it rose to 35%. So I think that that's pretty good evidence that there's been quite a dramatic fall-off in concern, and we will be continuing to do the yearly public opinion surveys.
We do know, though, don't we, that there's still some concern about mobile phone masts. Can I ask, what are the MOA and its members doing to deal with public concern about masts?
Well, public concern about masts was much higher 10 years ago, and that's one of the reasons why we formed the MOA, was to bring the industry together and approach the issue in a coordinated way. And in 2001, we published what we called the 10 Commitments to Best Siting Practice, where we proactively began to engage with local communities and local councils ahead of lodging planning applications to build masts. And that kind of outreach program has worked very well. In fact, the commitments that the industry put forward at that time are now contained in official government advice, both in England and Wales, and in legislation in Northern Ireland and Scotland. And they've been very much welcomed by government, because what it means is that we're out there engaging with councils and with communities at an early stage and addressing those public concerns. And again, over the years, we've done a lot of presentations, interaction with elected councillors around the country, and we've had a very, very positive response to that initiative. And as far as I'm aware, I think we're the only industry in the UK that gets out on the front foot and proactively talks to people before planning applications are lodged. So that's been the way in which we've addressed public concern about masts. That's not to say that you still don't get public concerns showing up on a local level, but I think it's fair to say now that it's very much on a local level. It's a mast-by-mast situation rather than having national media campaigns or anything like that. And the reality is that most masts we build are built without any public opposition, but from time to time it comes up and then it's dealt with on a site-by-site basis.
It's true, isn't it, though, that often it's the media that pick up those concerns. Is that media negativity indicative of broad opposition to mobile phone technology in the UK, and why would this be the case?
No, I don't think it is. I think the media reflect in their local communities what's going on, so that the kind of media we're seeing is the local a newspaper or radio station might pick up an issue because it's a concern that's being brought about locally. We're certainly not seeing it in the national media and across the board. So I think it's just a reflection. If there's a problem in a particular site and people are concerned about that, the media get to hear about it and they will report it. But again, I think it's fair to say that over the years, we're getting much, much more balanced reporting in local media now, again, because of, I think, the attitude that we've taken of being proactive with councils and communities. And also, I think it's fair to say that the media have finally got the message that you can't have an efficient mobile phone network unless you, you can't have mobile phones working efficiently unless you have a good mobile phone network in place to support them. And that's kind of been one of the key messages that we've been trying to get through over these years.
There are still some prominent mobile phone mast activist groups, though, aren't there, in the UK? What sort of relationship does the MOA have with these groups, and how do you deal with their attacks on your members' activities?
Well, the movement from the national anti-mast groups in the UK is not nearly as active as it was some years ago. I think that they get more airtime outside the UK than they do inside the UK. But having said that, we have dialogue with them. In fact, one action group, Mast Action UK, for a number of years, we used to meet quite regularly every few months and talk through with them concerns that they had about particular mast sites. And our members would come along to those meetings and seek to address those concerns. And I think that as the years have rolled by, they haven't seen the need to continue doing that at that level, because they have the opportunity to call up the individual operators and discuss their concerns and have them dealt with directly. So we don't kind of see those national activist groups as active here in the UK as they previously were. And again, I think that's been partly because we've got a lot better in this country at rolling out the networks.
You mentioned that some of these issues seem to get a little more prominence in the media outside the UK than within. And I think outside the UK, we've noticed some conflicting media reports about government bans on mobile phone use by children. Can you explain to us what the true position is in the UK there?
Sure. This has been very well settled now for 9 years. The first thing I think to say is none of the UK governments have banned mobile phone use by children. That's simply a fact. In the year 2000, we had a major public inquiry here in the UK about mobile telephony and health, and it was chaired by Professor Sir William Stewart, who'd been a former chief government scientific advisor. And he was helped in that task by about 10 other independent scientists from around the UK, and one from the World Health Organization, as well as two lay observers. And that inquiry, known as the Stewart Report, recommended a precautionary approach to the use of mobile telephony, even though it had concluded that there were no evidence of adverse health effects, providing that the technology operated within the international exposure guidelines. Now, I think the point to make is that that precautionary advice that the Stewart Report recommended isn't based on any finding of science that mobile phone use by the under 16s is harmful, but rather on the basis that if some evidence of harm were to appear in the future, then children might be more vulnerable than adults and would certainly have a higher lifetime exposure.
And we'll have a little more of a chat about that a little later on. But in the meantime, if I could ask about the UK government supporting a large research program, partly with industry funding, and that could, I guess, lead to claims of industry influence. Can you explain how that works and what that research has found to date?
Okay. Well, the establishment of an independent UK research program with joint government and industry funding was, again, one of the key recommendations of the Stewart Report in 2000. It was an £8.4 million program, and we all went to very great lengths to ensure that it was truly independent and free from the possibility of any influence either by government or by industry. So in that sense, I've heard the program described by the World Health Organization as the gold standard research program on this issue, I think because all of us went to great lengths to ensure not only that it was absolutely independent, but that it was seen to be independent. Now, the program published an interim report in September of 2007, and it reported that none of the 23 studies that it had funded and which had been published in peer-reviewed journals to that date had shown any evidence of adverse health effects from the use of mobile phone technology.
Mike, we'll have to leave it there for this edition, but we'll continue our discussion in the next episode. Thanks so much for your time today. It's been a really interesting conversation.
Thank you very much, Simon. It's been a pleasure to take part.
Mobile Podcast would like to thank Mike Dolan for taking his time to appear on the program. We'd also like to thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the 15th episode produced in July 2009. Mobile Podcast will be available for download regularly at www.mmfai.org/mobilepodcast or www.gsmworld.com/health. Mobile Podcast is made available for download by the Mobile Manufacturers Forum and the GSM Association. The information contained on this podcast is provided for general information purposes only and does not purport to offer legal, health, or any other professional advice. Where reference is made to a company or a specific commercial product or service, howsoever referred, no endorsement or recommendation is implied or intended. The views expressed are those of the speakers alone and do not necessarily represent those of the Mobile Manufacturers Forum or GSM Association. All guests have volunteered their time to help promote an open discussion of the issues addressed.